The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us for this lifelong transformational journey of Jesus' apprentices learning to love and serve and be like Jesus. It is good that you have come to take this time to spend some time with the Lord in the Gospel of Luke. But before we study our gospel, our portion for today, and it will be just two verses, verses 57 and 58 of Luke chapter 1. I want to remind you of our model. That's right. Jesus' apprentices, they have a model that they live by, that they aim for. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is where we want to go as Jesus' apprentices. And I'm praying that you are trying to love the Lord with all you have and with all you are, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. On this journey of looking for Jesus and experiencing Him in the third gospel, the Gospel of Luke, we have a memory verse every single week where we try to repeat and memorize this verse. And the memory verse for this week is, "For the Word of God will never fail." For the Word of God will never fail. Luke 1:37. We have the assurance that everything that God says will be fulfilled. And somehow that is related to our study today of those two verses. I just want to remind you that we have a website, therescueworker.com, where you can connect with us. Our podcast is there. Our YouTube videos are there as well. So please check us out. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe, so you can be aware when we are releasing new videos, new resources for your development and growth in Jesus Christ. Before we go and study those two verses, I want to give you some time to prepare the soil of your heart. Do you remember the parable of the one that shows and give away seeds, right? He's planting seeds, and the seeds fall in four different kinds of soils. But just the good soil is just on the good soil that the seed is able to flourish and germinate and grow. And we know that the seed represents God's word, and the soil our hearts. So sometimes the soil of our heart, our soul, and mind is not prepared to receive the seed of God's word. And that's the reason every day we take a time for you to prepare yourself for a moment, for a prayer, to prepare the soil to receive the good seed. We rely in the promise that God is always waiting for us and available to us. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, where we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. God is always available, and He's always available to bless us, to share His seed of hope. But we need to be prepared to receive this seed, to receive the word. So take this 1 minute to reflect, to pray, to prepare your heart, your soul, your mind, to receive what God has reserved for you today. And I know that God has a blessing for you today. So take this moment and we'll see after this reflection moment of preparing yourselves for God and with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thanks so much for your presence. Thank you so much for allowing us to come before you. We want to prepare ourselves to receive your word, your blessing. So Lord, be with us. Bring peace for those that are agitated. Bring forgiveness for those that are carrying a burden. Bring God, the presence of Jesus Christ, the shalom, the peace, so we can hear your voice and only your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, verses 57 and 58, we come back to the first report of the Gospel of Luke. If you remember, on the first week, we study the four first verses, right, of the Gospel of Luke. And somehow, it's an introduction to the Gospel of Luke. And the first account of the Gospel of Luke is about Zechariah and how the angel came to announce that Zechariah and Elizabeth would receive a baby. It is so interesting that Luke pays attention to John the Baptist. He tells this story. There is many reasons for that. And one of them is that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. What I mean by that? In the Old Testament, we had some prophecies that said that before the Messiah, someone would come to prepare the way for the Messiah. John Baptist is that one. So the coming of the messenger, the one that is preparing the way, is an announcement, a declaration, a proof that the Messiah has come. John the Baptist, he had a powerful ministry. Sometimes we don't have all the details, but we can have some glimpses. For instance, in Acts chapter 18, we have Apollos. Apollos was one of the most great speakers of the early church. He was a great speaker. Paul referred to him as a great person to argue with people and demonstrate and declare that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one. And Apollos was one of the disciples of John. He was impacted by the ministry of John. When Paul is in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus, there he finds a group of disciples of John. Yes, the ministry of John was powerful because he had the power of the Holy Spirit to prepare for Jesus. So in the same way that John would prepare the path for Jesus. Somehow he's preparing on his account of his birth the path of for Jesus. And we see that in so clear way in Luke, how Elizabeth encourages Mary with words because she's pregnant of the one that will prepare the way. So it is important for Luke to lay down the story of John so we can prepare ourselves for the Messiah. And somehow, you and I can be like John the Baptist, preparing the way for the Messiah to come into someone's life. We can prepare the way for Jesus to come in someone's life. And how we do that? Well, for sure, we can share Jesus with them, teach about Jesus with them. But I think the most powerful way is to live like Jesus lived, loving and serving, being like Jesus. That is the best way for you to prepare the way so someone will receive Jesus later. And I tell you, I think that's one of the main calls of Christians, to prepare the way. And at the right time, God will knock at the people's door, at the people's heart's door, so they can accept Jesus. So one of my main responsibilities today is to prepare the way, living like Jesus lived, loving and serving like Jesus. That it is so important. Now, we come to the verses that continue the story of John the Baptist, the first account of the Gospel of Luke. We had that account, then we had a kind of a break or a window where we focus on the announcement of the birth of Jesus to Mary by angel Gabriel, and then Mary going to see and visit Elizabeth, and the song of praise of Mary about her carrying the Messiah. Now, Luke comes back like a camera. He changed the camera from Mary. Let's go back to the story now of John. And the first phrase here on Luke chapter 1, verse 57 is, when it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born. Let's stop here for a second, because we have a very important clue here that I don't want to miss. And I think from this clue, we can have at least four lessons. I want to call your attention to the word time. Sometimes we think about time as a specific moment. Like, I have made the commitment that every day, from Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. Central Time here in Saskatoon, I want to be live to share some of the thoughts of the Book of Luke. So there is a specific time, 7 a.m. That's my commitment. I'll not die if one day I cannot do it for many reasons, but that's my commitment. That's all what I want to do it. So here we have a specific time, a moment. However, the word here for time in the original is chronos, or chronos, where you have the idea of a season, a period of time. So Luke is not calling us to the moment of the birth, at the birth, the delivery's moment. But he's calling us the attention to a season, when the season has completed, at the fullness of the time. So John is calling us to the fullness of a season. And why is that important? Well, as I said, there's at least four aspects that I want to call your attention. First one is, yes, at the end of pregnancy, at the end of this period of time that Elizabeth was waiting for the baby to be born, usually 9 months. So after, at the end of the 9 months, as these 9 months were completed. That's the first idea. But I think the main point, and that's my personal opinion, is related to the announcement that goes back to verse 5, starting verse 5. The announcement of Gabriel to Zechariah when he was serving at the temple. Zechariah receives the visit of Gabriel, and Gabriel declares to him that he would be the father of the one that would prepare the way for the Messiah. So there's a prophecy here, a prophecy in the future that is supposed to take place. And what we see is at the fullness of that prophecy. So what God had promised to Zechariah is come to a reality right now at the birth of John. So is the fulfillment of a prophecy. So this moment or this season that is coming to an end has the idea of pregnancy, has the idea of John, of Zechariah seeing the fulfillment of the prophecy of the angel. But comes a third one. And if you remember, the John the Baptist was supposed to prepare the way for the Messiah. So what is coming here is the end of time where everything that was promised on the Hebrew Bible, what was promised there at the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, and in Genesis 3:16, God said, and this from the seed of the woman would come someone that will crush the snake, the first promise of the Messiah. So all those prophecies are coming to a conclusion. Their time is coming to an end. The fullness of time. It's like what Paul said in Galatians 4:4, at the fullness of time, Jesus came. So the third aspect that I want to call your time or your attention is that the fullness of time here with the birth of John is the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end. What I mean by the end? With Jesus Christ, everything is fulfilled. The price of sin is paid. The revelation of God's character, the declaration of who is God, is materialized in Jesus Christ, comes to a moment. After Jesus said, it is finished at the cross, human history has come to an end. We live in the end of history. But now we live at the end of the history. I believe that. But it is the conclusion, the chronos, the phase, the season of waiting. The Messiah will come in a few months. Remember, John was 6 months older than Jesus. So John is preparing the way. As he comes, the Messiah is coming after him. So three ideas. First, we have is the conclusion of the time of pregnancy. The second, the conclusion of the prophecy of Gabriel that he gave to Zechariah. And the third is the conclusion of time of the Messiah, for the Messiah to come. And the fourth one, and I think that is very important for you and for me, is it is an end of time of waiting. Isabel was not supposed to wait anymore. The baby was here. Zechariah was not supposed to wait anymore. The baby's here. Humanity had been waiting for 4,000 years. It is here. Even the most faithful people, they need to wait. Abraham was not able to see all the promises being fulfilled on his time. He didn't see the blessed seed from his lineage, Jesus Christ. But the waiting moment has come to an end. You and I, we need to wait and learn to wait. And because humanity has waited for Jesus to come to the first time, today we eager wait for the second coming. And because God fulfilled his promise and came to the fullness of time to the first coming of Jesus, I can tell you that very soon the fullness of the second time or the second coming will happen. And today we wait for the blessed hope. That's what the Bible says. So wait in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Because your waiting will come to an end. Because God always fulfills His word, His promise. Wow, that's so beautiful. And somehow all that packet here on the first phrase, when it was time, the chronos, the season for Elizabeth baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. Can you imagine the happiness, the joy that Elizabeth had holding John? I remember when I held for the first time my little package, Olivia. That was so beautiful, so special. Ah, we waited. And it was so special because she was my firstborn. But I remember when I held for the first time my little boy, my best friend, Christopher. Huh. We Rebecca and I decided not to know the gender of the baby. And we are in the hospital. We can hear the cry of the baby, but we didn't see the baby. So one of the physicians just shout out, "It is a boy." And I remember I'm looking at my wife and we start crying. "It is a boy, it is a boy." Personally, I thought it was a girl, but it was a boy. That was so special to hold my little boy in my hands. We have been waiting. Now, imagine Elizabeth. She waited all her life for that moment. The baby is here. There's a tradition that says that John the Baptist was born on April 23rd. That's one of the earliest traditions from the church in Alexandria, right? And they say that John the Baptist was born on April 23rd. And how I know that, or how I have memorized that, not because I have a bright mind, but because April 23rd is the day that I was born as well. It's my birthday. So when I read some time ago about this tradition, we don't know if that's the right date. And personally, I think it does not matter. What it matters is that John the Baptist was born to prepare the way for the Messiah. Is the event more important than the date? I know some people starting fighting, what's the date for this or that? Hey, more important than date is the event. And God asks us, don't pay attention to the dates. Don't pay attention or try to figure out the day of the second coming. Well, look forward to the event. But anyhow, the early church said that John the Baptist was born on April 23rd. And, well, because it was my birthday, say, wow, I share my birthday with John the Baptist. Wow, that's amazing. But later on, that same church that came this tradition, they changed the date. After Constantine started this process of embrace Christianity as part of the empire, and then later becoming the official church of the Roman Empire, they changed the date. And why? Well, since Christianity under the Roman Empire decided that the birth of Jesus was December 25th, they had to bring the birth of John the Baptist 6 months prior to that. So they changed to June 24th as the day of birth of John, so that would match the day of birth of Jesus 6 months prior to that. Well, I don't believe that John was born on June or Jesus on December 25th. It does not matter. As I mentioned, I think more important is the event. But the earlier tradition says that John was born on April 23rd. And that was just information for you. But let's continue here. Verse 58. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When God manifests himself in your life, you become a witness of his love and care. Elizabeth became a living declaration of who God is. That is so powerful. That's so beautiful. Maybe you don't have a strong sign or experience with God like Elizabeth with a baby that is completely miraculous, but you still have God's action over and over in your life. And that must become a declaration. You need to share what God is doing in your life. Let people know and see the hand of the Lord. And here I want to come back on how Luke decided to describe the Lord. And I think that's so beautiful because at the same moment or the same aspect that we're trying to trace the life of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, I think we can trace the image of God in the Gospel of Luke. We start with people fearing God and the angel, you don't need to fear. And then declarations start to happen. God's the Savior. God's love is the almighty and powerful God. But here, he used the word merciful. God is merciful. And what mercy means? What's the idea behind God being merciful? Merciful or mercy means is when I don't receive what I deserve. I don't receive what was the natural outcome. When that happens, when somehow I'm protected to not receive what I deserve or the natural outcome, I have experienced mercy. So Elizabeth, because of her age, her natural reality, the natural outcome is she cannot have a baby. But because God is merciful, he changed the curse, the path, and say, now you have a baby. You will not receive what was natural to happen. And God is merciful with us all the time. For sure, he's merciful and not allowing us to experience eternal death. Because of the wages of sin, you and I deserve what? Death. But because God is merciful, he protects us not to receive that outcome that was a natural outcome of sin. And that protection comes through Jesus Christ. And to everyone who accept Jesus Christ will not face the second death, the eternal death. God is merciful. How God has been merciful with you? What are the consequences that you're supposed to experience, but you are not? You see, when I reflect in my life, I don't deserve to be alive. I don't deserve to be here, serving where I'm serving, having the family that I have. If I'm here and if I'm alive and I have what I have, my family, my congregation, you, it is because God has been merciful to me. And the mercies of God are renewed daily. Where can you see the mercy of God in your day to day? How many times we say no to God? We neglect him. We neglect time with him. but he still gives us an opportunity because he's merciful. His grace. And by the way, we're not studying grace today, but if mercy is not receiving what I deserve, grace is receiving what I don't deserve. It's different concept, but the same meaning, same roots of God's love. Not receiving what I don't deserve. And mercy, not receiving what I deserve or the natural outcome. God was merciful with Elizabeth. And God is merciful with you. Try to understand and see the mercy of God every single day in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercy. A mercy that is renewed every single day. We have a portion of your mercy every single day. That is beautiful and powerful. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for the account of John the Baptist and how that brings us hope that our waiting time soon will come to an end. And soon, the tears will become joy. The night will be sunrise. We look forward to that day. And until that day, Lord, when we see Jesus coming in the clouds of heaven, I pray that we will experience him and his mercy daily. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's go for our questions. As you know, we have a set of questions that we encourage you to reflect, to journey upon. And the questions are the following. What is happening in this passage that we just read? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus or according to God's example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others? It was a blessing for me to spend this time in the Word of God and with you. And I pray that we'll be back next week. Our next segment, we'll be studying what happened when the baby that was born now has 8 days of life. Well, that will be a very interesting study and application for our life. But remember, God is merciful, and he has been merciful to you. Have a great day, and God bless you.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.